All right, ladies and gentlemen, you are Locked On Falcons. I'm your host, Aaron Freeman, and today we're talking about the final day of Falcons mandatory minicamp and how it impacts the ongoing quarterback battle between Marcus Mariota and Desmond Ridder. And later we'll be joined by Thor Nystrom of NBC Sports Edge and Matt Waldman of the Rookie Scouting Portfolio to talk all about Tyler Allgeier, the Falcons' fifth round running back out of BYU, and how he fits in their offense.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So guys, you know me, I'm Aaron Freeman, been covering the Falcons for many years, formerly at FalcFans.com, RIP, still going strong, on Twitter, at FalcFans, and of course, the host of this illustrious Locked On Falcons podcast, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Sports Atlanta podcast family. And today's episode of Locked On Falcons is brought to you by Blue Nile. Make your moment sparkle with jewelry from BlueNile.com. And Locked On listeners get $50 off purchases of $500 or more. This podcast exclusive includes engagement. Use code Locked On at checkout. So, guys, I want to thank you for making Locked On Falcons your first listen each and every day. Of course, Locked On Falcons is free and available Monday through Friday on a variety of podcast platforms, including Apple, Odyssey, Google, Spotify, and so much more, as well as free and available on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe to the Locked On Falcons YouTube channel, and you'll get the video version of the podcast the night before the audio drops. So, guys, you know, Falcons wrapping up mini camp. And today I'll give you my thoughts on that, and it'll be focused primarily on the quarterback battle and whether or not we should be putting too much stock in that. But later in the episode, it will be all about Tyler Allgeier with two guests, including Thor Nystrom, who's been on the podcast over the last several weeks, to talk about Drake London and Desmond Ridder and his thoughts on that. And we also have Matt Waldman, who also shared his thoughts on Drake London and Desmond Ridder, but we'll punt those to next week, and we'll just focus on Tyler Allgeier, because tomorrow's episode will be my in-depth comprehensive scouting report for Tyler Allgeier, and sort of we'll piggyback on some of the things that Thor and Matt say in today's episode. But let's talk about the Falcons quarterback battle. And this is going to continue to be a topic of conversation at least for probably 6 weeks, if not much longer, because it's really the first time in like 30 years that the Falcons have had a legit quarterback battle heading into training camp. I think you have to go back to the early 90s, when one of those summers where it was like Chris Miller versus Bobby Hebert, or Chris Miller versus Billy Joe Tolliver, or Wade Wilson, or whatever the case may be, in one of those years. But ever since then, it's just basically been like Jeff George, Chris Chandler, Michael Vick, and then Matt Ryan being the unquestioned starter. Even that 07 year, Joey Harrington didn't get much competition from guys like Chris Redman and DJ Shockley. They didn't bring Brian Lefferts into the building until after training camp. So there really wasn't even a competition there. So that's part of it. Like, you know, if you're not a big fan of me talking about this competition like it's a real competition, if you don't think it's a real competition, then, you know, I'm going to sit here and tell you, you probably should skip Locked On Falcons for the next 6 weeks, at least the next 6 weeks. That's my recommendation to you. But, you know, the reason why I bring that up is because something that Mike Rothstein put out there when he was giving his notes on day two, and he's been giving these pretty consistently at OTAs and minicamp, sort of putting out the numbers of Marcus Mariota and how many passes he's completing in some of these sessions versus Desmond Ridder. And it's been consistently Mariota ahead of Ridder. Like today in the 7-on-7 hurry up session, Mariota completed all five of his passes, according to Rothstein, while Ridder went 1-for-4. In the red zone session of 7-on-7, Mariota went 2-for-5 and Ridder went 0-for-3. And you know, Mike Rothstein says you should take those numbers with a grain of salt. I tend to echo those sentiments. I'm sure the coaching staff is echoing those sentiments. But you know, I know people, you know, depending on what your brand is, depending on what narrative you're looking to push over the next, you know, several weeks or months, you know, you may not be as keen to take those numbers with a grain of salt. If you're on Team Mariota, you're sitting here saying, you know, look at how much better Mariota is in practice every day. That's proof that this is not really a competition, and this Ridder kid is overhyped, and it's really Marcus Mariota is the guy. And if you're on Team Ridder, you're probably sitting here like, oh, this, it's all against air. It's not really matter. We have to wait till July on whatever the case may be. And I know some of you guys watching or listening to the show think I, tend to be on one side of that fence or the other. I'm on team nobody, right? I'm on team. They're all just bridge quarterbacks. They've all been bridge quarterbacks, right? When I called Matt Ryan a bridge quarterback last year, I got a lot of flack for that, but I was right. I'm going to get a lot of flack for calling Mariota a bridge quarterback. I'm probably going to get some flack for calling Desmond Ridder a bridge quarterback. The difference is the cost of the bridge, right? Matt Ryan was getting paid $40 million. Mariota's getting paid like $7 million. And Ritter's costing like less than $2 million. And sort of basically depending on the quality of play that you're getting decent bang for your buck depending at each of these levels, right? And like your hope is that you're just going to get like the 18th, the 22nd best quarterback in the league from Ridder or Mariota or whatever the case may be. And now you were getting that kind of with Matt Ryan, who was like the 15th best quarterback in the league. But you were paying him like he was the 5th best quarterback in the league. And so you're hoping that you're going to get better bang for your buck. But ultimately at the end of the day, like if you're asking me my honest opinion, I don't think the Falcons franchise quarterback, however you define that, as their long-term rock of a guy, of a starter, is currently on the roster. And that's part of the reason why I'm so keen to sort of see this team evaluate Ridder, because I think you kind of have to figure out, okay, like, is this guy got a chance to be something for you? Not necessarily that he's going to be the franchise guy. Right? There's a chance he's going to be the franchise guy, but it's not a high chance. And frankly, you know, I know a lot of you guys think this is negativity on my part, but I'm just simply playing the percentages. Like the percentages are not stacked in Marcus Mariota's favor. They're not stacked in Desmond Ridder's favor. They're, in fact, when you start looking at the percentages, they're stacked heavily against these guys. And so like, to me, you want to find out what you have in these guys, because the Falcons are going to be back in the quarterback market in all likelihood, based off of these percentages, next year. And they're going to continue to be in the quarterback market until they find their guy. Right. And, you know, I'm going out on a limb. I don't think it's a particularly flimsy limb. I think it's probably the sturdiest limb out there. It's made out of steel. By sitting here saying, I don't know if Mariota and Ridder, I don't suspect that they're the guys. And I think really what you're hoping for this year, you're just kind of hoping that Mariota can give you like the 18th best quarterback in the league this year. And, you know, I don't think Ridder's going to achieve that in year one, but maybe he could potentially achieve that in years two or three. In all likelihood, you're probably looking at Ridder being more like the 22nd best quarterback, hopefully, next year. And, you know, for reference, you know, Teddy Bridgewater, according to Pro Football Focus, last year was the 18th best quarterback. Last year, Tua was the 22nd best quarterback. And next year in particular, you know, Mariota is going to be making $14.5 million, and Ridder is only going to be counting about $1.3 million against your salary cap next year. And so if I was asking most of you, would you rather pay Teddy Bridgewater $14.5 million or would you rather pay Tua $1.3 million? I'm betting most of you would sit here and say, I'd rather pay Tua because he's younger, he's cheaper, and maybe, again, not a high probability, but maybe there's a chance he's better ultimately down the road than the 18th best quarterback, while Teddy Bridgewater, and in this case, Marcus Mariota, are much more known static commodities. And so that's kind of ultimately where I kind of fall on this thing. That's why I sit here and I think we need to see Ridder, and depending on how he performs this summer, how Mariota performs this summer, will kind of determine how short the leash is on Marcus Mariota. Cause again, he's just the bridge quarterback. And I know some of you guys get mad when I say that stuff, but like, you know, the people, you know, you're sitting here going, Aaron, you'll see, just like the people last year when I sat here and said, they're not going to extend Matt Ryan. Oh, Aaron, you'll see. They're committed to Matt Ryan as their guy. I'm like, what am I seeing? What am I supposed to be looking at? What did I see? What was I supposed to see? I don't see nothing. I didn't see nothing. So, you know, I'm not trying to be a jerk about this, guys, but I just sit here and I just go like, I'm setting you up. I'm trying to set up people for realistic expectations for what this can. Now, no one's going to sit here and complain about, you know, if Marcus Mariota, instead of being the 18th best quarterback in the league, winds up being the 8th best quarterback in the league. I'll complain about something, but it won't be that. You know, I'll find something to complain about, but it won't be that. But like, it's just one of those things where it's just like, you know, this will be an ongoing process. We'll see what happens as the summer unfolds, but we'll, you know, at least on this podcast, we're going to continue to treat it like it's a real competition, even if it's not. And we'll find out probably in July or early August if it is a real competition. And then that shortens the leash of Mariota, or he gets a bit of a longer leash. But ultimately, again, the Falcons are probably going to be back in the quarterback market next year. And so we need to find out if we should be or we shouldn't be. That's really ultimately what this season is about. And I think people need to keep that in mind when it comes to this whole situation between Marcus Mariota and Desmond Ridder and what this season is really about, because, you know, the Falcons are rebuilding, much to the chagrin of those fans out there that insist that the Falcons are a playoff team right away. But we'll see about that, and we'll see about Tyler Allgeier as we continue today's episode. And first, we'll be joined by Thor Nystrom of NBC Sports, and Thor is going to express an opinion that, you know, Tyler Allgeier is a great fit in the Falcons' wide zone scheme. We'll see if Matt Waldman agrees or disagrees with him later in the episode, but we'll get Thor's thoughts on Tyler Allgeier, talking a little bit about whether or not his, you know, top-notch production at BYU is, you know, something that can project easily to the NFL, or is there going to be some issues with that projection as we move forward? And we'll get into that as we continue today's Locked On Falcons podcast, guys. But before we get there, I do want to let you know about the survey that you guys can take at lockedonpodcast.com/survey that helps make the Locked On shows like this one better. Tell us how much you like or don't like Locked On Falcons and other Locked On shows, and it's not going to take too much time at all. And if you complete your survey, you will qualify for a chance to win one of 10 $100 Ticketmaster gift cards. Again, that's lockedonpodcast.com/survey. And guys, I want to tell you about Blue Nile, the jewelry experts that are going to help you find that one classic, timeless jewelry piece for your special someone. And whether you're looking to pop the question, Blue Nile has the simple online tools that help you choose the shape, size, clarity to handcraft that perfect one-of-a-kind engagement ring for your special someone. Or maybe you're looking for something a little less permanent and you're having trouble choosing, and Blue Nile has the jewelry experts on hand 24/7 via phone, via chat, to help you find that memorable gift that fits everyone's budget. So make your moment sparkle by heading over to BlueNile.com, and Locked On listeners get $50 off purchases of $500 or more. And that includes engagement. Just use the code Locked On. That's code Locked On, LOCKEDON. And every order is insured. It ships free and arrives in discreet packaging, so it won't give away what's inside. So shop stress-free when you find your forever piece by going to BlueNile.com today. Now, I'm here with Thor Nystrom of NBC Sports Edge, and we've talked about Drake London. We've talked about Desmond Ridder. Let's talk a little bit about the other offensive weapon that the Falcons drafted in round 5 in BYU running back Tyler Allgeier. He seems to be a little bit of a polarizing prospect to a certain extent. Some people sort of had him highly ranked. I've talked to a couple of people on this podcast that had him in their top 4 or 5 running backs this year. I know you had him 14th in your rankings. And it seemed to be, at least reading your profile of him, is that you tended to look a little bit lower on him because you thought he was kind of playing behind a really good BYU offensive line and kind of racking up production against some of the lesser opponents that BYU had on their schedule, and questioning whether or not that's going to translate to the next level. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I mean, he was super duper productive in college, but the circumstances were pretty ideal, especially for a player of, you know, of his sort of ilk. And he got, you know, you look at his numbers the last 2 years, they're tremendous, but you start to break them down. Where did he get that production? That's where you start to get concerned about the NFL projection. So for instance, you know, just sort of going that, a couple of the stats I had in there. So he had 72 runs of 10 yards or more these last couple of years, 1170 breakaway yards the past 2 years. But this past season, of his 593 breakaway yards, 413 of them came against just 3 opponents: Virginia, Utah State, and then UAB in the bowl game. Virginia and Utah State ranked number 100 and number 80, respectively, in SP Plus defense. But they were truly terrible at allowing explosive runs, not just to Allgeier, but, you know, every opponent that they faced. Those two teams ranked 124th and 128th in defensive rushing explosion against out of 130. So what you saw was a lot of production that was piled up, you know, on these sort of breakaway runs against really terrible defenses when, you know, again, he was running behind an awesome offensive line the year before. He had Zach Wilson, et cetera. And I just don't know that that's going to translate to the next level. He went out and ran a 4.6, which wasn't like super duper surprising. It surprised some people, but didn't really surprise me. He could run away from, you know, some of these Mountain West, you know, linebackers and safeties even. But at the next level, he's not going to be piling up breakaway yards like that. You look at it conversely, when he was playing the really good defenses this past season, four best defenses he faced were Baylor, Arizona State, Utah, and Boise State. In those games, he was held to 3.3 yards per carry. In the nine other games when BYU was playing pretty poor opponents, that's where Algier ran for 1,329 yards on 6.8 yards per carry. When I'm evaluating quarterbacks, for instance, I get really concerned about the guys who absolutely shred terrible defenses, but then when they're playing good defenses or when they're under pressure, their numbers crater. It's sort of the same principle here. And again, I think that the way that he piled up his a big part of his production, I'm not sure if that's translatable to the NFL because he's not going to be running away from anyone.
Okay. Now, I'm curious, do you think playing in a wide zone scheme like what the Falcons deploy, they'll be able to get a little bit more out of him than maybe your initial evaluation suggests?
That's where he should have gone and where I think he had to go. Yeah, I mean, like, because BYU played that wide zone, of course, as well. That's what he has the instincts for. It's weird because, you know, he's sort of like Abraham Smith from Baylor, where both those guys, they have sort of these rough and tumble games. They have, you know, their physical backs. And so you sort of, maybe on the surface, you might think of them as downhill guys, but both those, you know, for a gap blocking scheme, but like both those guys are better for the wide zone stuff because they're really good at both running with tempo, running, you know, patience, whatever, behind the line. Really good vision. They tend to sense when that hole opens up and then they make the really clean cut into it. Like Smith, Algier, he lacks sort of the joystick agility, but like him, you could, and Brian Robinson is sort of like this as well, where they make the really crisp cut into the hole. And then you're looking for that runway upfield, which, you know, Algier was able to find a lot at BYU, but he can make people miss in the hole with that cut. It's not going to be doing it downfield, but that's the sort of scheme that you wanted to get him in because that skill will translate.
Do you think because he's going to Atlanta and, you know, they just recently cut Mike Davis and it seems like, at least from my assessment, that, you know, they're planning on having him and Cordero Patterson be sort of their new 1-2 punch at that position. Do you feel like, you know, he's going to an opportunity where he has a really good chance to maybe, you know, outperform some of these expectations?
Yeah, I mean, him and his agent could not have, you know, heading into day three on Saturday, they could not have chosen a better situation for them than Atlanta, you know, and then of course when Davis gets cut, I mean, it's like, you know, who do you got there? So, I mean, you know, Algier is going to, he's absolutely going to be near the front of that line. And yeah, you know, like we said, like he's going to be comfortable in that scheme because that's what he's coming out of from college. So it's not like there's going to be some, you know, long acclimation process. There's other positions on the field, tight end being one of them, not Kyle Pitts, but like other tight ends, it takes them longer to acclimate into the NFL. With running backs, not so much, especially if the system that they're going into is very analogous to the one that they're coming from. And that's the case with Algier. And there's not a whole lot of guys around there, you know, in the Atlanta running back room that are, you know, sort of like legitimate, you know, starting caliber talent. So yeah, he's going to get touches in year one for sure.
So guys, there's still more to come here with Matt Waldman of the Rookie Scouting Portfolio. We had Matt on earlier, I think in early April, to talk about the running back class. And he's going to talk a little bit more about Tyler Algier. I don't think we talked that much about Tyler Algier in that episode, but we'll talk all about Matt's thoughts on Tyler Algier and particularly his fit in the outside zone scheme. We just heard Thor say that he's a great fit in that scheme. Matt has a differing opinion. And so we'll see where he comes from with that opinion as we continue today's Locked On Falcons podcast, guys. But before we get there, I'm going to plug the Locked On Sports Atlanta podcasts family, where you can find three shows, four different personalities. You got Mark Zeno on A to Z. You got John Chuckery on Hitting Hard. And of course, you got Jarvis Davis and Tanitra Batiste on ATL Day Ones, giving you their insight on all of local sports, this Braves winning streak, as well as all the things going on in Falcons minicamp and the Atlanta Hawks and lead up to the NBA draft and all that stuff, as well as the sort of national headlines. And you can find it all on your preferred podcast platform, all the same podcast platforms that you listen or watch Locked On Falcons, including on YouTube. And if you check out the Locked On Sports Atlanta YouTube channel, you'll be able to get the Atlanta Braves postcast, where Locked On Braves is breaking down every Braves win. And, you know, at least not recently, every Braves loss. So check that out on your preferred podcast platform. And guys, I want to tell you about Built Bar, the protein bar that tastes just like a candy bar. Built Bars are even better than a candy bar because they not only taste good, they're good for you. They're low in sugar, low in calories, low in carbs, high in protein, high in fiber. They come in a variety of flavors. All of them are covered in 100% real chocolate. Whether you want the caramel brownie, the brownie batter puff, cookies and cream, chocolate, peanut butter granola, double chocolate, coconut almond, cherry barcia, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, salted caramel, raspberry, and much, much more. So go find your favorite or order yourself a mixed box and try them all by heading over to built.com and using the promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your order. Again, that's promo code LOCKED15. LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. All right, guys, you're Locked On Falcons, and I'm here with another illustrious guest. This is Matt Waldman. We had him on earlier this offseason, back at the beginning of April, to talk about this upcoming running back class. And we were talking about whether or not the Falcons would draft a running back. I don't think we talked about Tyler Allgeier on that episode, but we'll be talking with him today about Tyler Allgeier, as well as get his thoughts on Drake London and Desmond Ridder. But you can check out Matt's stuff at the at his website and check out the rookie scouting portfolio. A lot of great content there, breaking down quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, tight ends, sort of giving you a fantasy bent. But Matt gives you a lot of great insight on, you know, what makes these players, you know, project well to the NFL or not project well to the NFL. But Matt, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks again for having me. And it's always fun to be able to talk about a prospects now after they've been drafted to see how they fit with their teams.
Yes, yes. When you're projecting them to the generic team and generic schemes, and now you see how these guys fit actually in the actual schemes and teams that they're on, it does make a world of difference where you're like, I wasn't too high on that guy, but all of a sudden he went to the perfect situation where he could really blossom. And we'll see if any of these Falcons pickups are in that sort of perfect situation. We'll start out the conversation with Tyler Allgeier. And speaking of perfect fits, you know, a lot of the buzz about Allgeier in the lead up to the draft and post-draft has been that he's a perfect fit in the outside zone scheme that the Falcons like to deploy. But in your RSP, you mentioned that he might be a better fit in the gap scheme. What exactly went into that assessment?
Yeah, and a lot of that is that when you look at Allgeier at BYU, he ran more of his own scheme. But one of the issues that I really had with him, that where he plummeted down my board a fair bit, was that he seems to have difficulty tracking angles. And that's someone who doesn't estimate their burst well enough relative to the burst and acceleration of the opponent. And it's a fundamental thing. And I seem to think I had the feeling when I watched his tape that he had real trouble tracking the trajectory of players who were in pursuit of him. And so while that doesn't show up maybe as much in the college game on a level of where it's going to hurt him, it will hurt a lot more in the pro game, where so many linebackers and safeties can go sideline to sideline, and even defensive linemen have the burst to be able to track down players much smaller than them in a tight space. And so I'm concerned about that, not only as a runner, but it also showed up as a pass protector, where he just seemed to have difficulty tracking the angle of trajectory on blitzes and stunts, and knowing that who he had to handle, but not really gauging the correct angle, and he'd be a step or two late to that angle or be in a position that wasn't ideal, and he would lose that assignment pretty handily. And so when I look at Allgeier, he's a fun story because we all know he was a walk-on, he played linebacker, and then he was a production leader at BYU at his position at running back, and he certainly is versatile. But when I look at his tape, because of that issue with the angles, I think he'd be a better fit as more of a guy who just needs to make one decision and go. And that one decision and go is more akin to gap scheme. Now, outside zone is also kind of an easy to fit scheme when you have a great offensive line. Like, to me, Elijah Mitchell, they call him Drano there because they like to talk about how he hits the hole fast. But the problem is that he's very good at just hitting one hole. He's not a great inside zone runner. And the great inside zone runners with speed make the best outside zone runners who can make, you know, basically the bounce, the cram, or the cutback, and really do a great job of being able to set up defenders. But a competent guy, and sometimes a guy that some coaches prefer, is just the robotic type who's really fast, who can hit one hole as it's designed and hit it with conviction. And I don't think Algier has the speed to do that, but he has the conviction. And so he has enough size to function. I think he projects more as a backup and as a special teams player who can be of you know, of utility. But I think Damian Williams is pretty much, you know, he's a journeyman number two who gets the job done. And if it weren't for Khalil Herbert last year being the revelation he was, a player I like pre-draft a lot, you know, I think Damian Williams might have been re-signed in Chicago, might not have wound up in Atlanta. So I see Algier as number three competing with Kadri Allison really for that third spot in this offense. And as we saw with, you know, with Cordarrelle Patterson, he's both good and a decent outside zone runner and a very good gap runner. And they run a little bit of both there in Atlanta scheme. So he actually, you know, Algier projects a little better as a gap runner in terms of what he does well. But ideally, you want fast guys to be gap runners because you want that chance of them being able to really break it a long way. Whereas Algier has average to slightly to below average speed for what you want from a starter. But he's a solid depth player for you. I'm just not there for the sleeper tag with him.
Fair enough. So, guys, that's going to do it for us here on today's Locked On Falcons. I appreciate everybody for tuning in today to hear my rant about the quarterback battle, as well as get some insight from some outside sources on Tyler Algier. And tomorrow we'll be giving my thoughts on Tyler Algier and my comprehensive scouting report and where I think he fits in Atlanta. I'll, you know, let you know in advance that I'm closer on Tyler Algier to Thor and Matt Waldman than say Trevor Sikkema, who we had on post draft, who had, I think, Tyler Algier fourth on his RB running back rankings. So I'm more in line with these guys than I was with Trevor. But you'll hear exactly why that is on tomorrow's episode. And also, guys, you don't have to wait till tomorrow to check out the Ultimate NBA Mock Draft, free and available on your preferred podcast platform. All you got to do is search Ultimate NBA Mock Draft, and you're getting coverage of, you know, the upcoming NBA draft from over 50 Locked On experts and Odyssey insiders, and, you know, building a draft board and all that various stuff. So find out who the Hawks should take in the upcoming draft, or, you know, whoever your favorite team is in that draft, by going to the Ultimate NBA Mock Draft on your preferred podcast platform. Guys, that will do it for us here on today's Locked On Falcons. I appreciate it. Till then.